The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Trying to manage the things, Howard. Taking your advice and trying to manage things is very, very tough. But I just wonder what you guys were thinking about this whole Facebook storm. You know, the whole advertising on Facebook now, an Israeli company, SodaStream, also decided that they're joining the Facebook boycott. Have you had this discussion at all with the listeners about what they think about Facebook?
We have. And I have to say that personally, I'm very, very concerned about the trend towards censorship. We're seeing it everywhere. And, the problem with this is that the louder you shout and the more financial clout you have, the more then you will get to dictate what the agenda is. And that is what worries me about this whole Facebook campaign. I get it. I understand, how dangerous hate speech is. Certainly I've been on the receiving end of it enough times. But,
of all people.
I know. Can you imagine? And mostly I just go about life minding my own business and then these things happen. But no, seriously, it is it does worry me. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that as a company advertising in a certain space, I think the company has the right to say, I don't want to advertise here if that particular space doesn't represent my values. Because I'm associated, my name is associated with wherever people see it. And so I get that if people don't like the way that Facebook is being censored or not censored, that they have the right to say, I'm not going to advertise here. Of course, Facebook in turn will want to make it an economic imperative for people to choose to advertise there, even though they might not necessarily feel good about everything that goes on Facebook. I personally am not... don't have a Facebook account at all. And the more I read about what's happening there, the better I feel about not being a member of the Facebook community. I've always been a little bit worried about the way that Facebook operates and the algorithms and the infringements and things like that. So I've chosen to vote with my feet and stay away from it. And I think that companies with big money have the right to do the same. Having said that, I don't think that they have the right to dictate the agenda. In other words, if they don't like what's going on with Facebook, stay away. That's your prerogative. But don't try to dictate to them what they should or should not
be doing.
Yes,
it's very different. It's very, very different saying that, it's not my brand. You no longer align with what our brand is to saying, well, we're joining a global boycott. That's something very, very different.
Yeah, it's not really a boycott. It's people voting with their feet to say, the boycott is essentially an attempt to try to change the policies and to convince Zuckerberg and friends to do things differently. But I think in reality, the way that we need to see these big companies that are choosing not to advertise on Facebook is just simply for them to say, the fact that they're saying, we're voting with our feet. We don't want to be there. You change it, we'll reconsider. You don't change it, we'll stay away. Mm. I mean, I think that's absolutely legitimate and perfectly acceptable.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what is going on in Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu met yesterday in Jerusalem with the U.S. Special Representative for Iran. That is interesting. What is what was on the agenda of the talks?
Well, Iran has sort of been a little bit off the agenda over the last few weeks. And now it's come back onto the agenda again with Brian Hook, who is the U.S. Special Representative for Iran, actually being in Israel. He was in Israel yesterday. And the main issue of concern is the fact that the five-year agreement that was signed back in 2015 is due to expire later this year in October. And what effectively happens with that expiry, or at least one of the expiry dates, I don't know that the agreement itself expires, but certainly part of what expires in October is the UN arms embargo, which has been imposed on Iran. Now, it's quite interesting that the US and Israel are so active in this particular issue, because we all remember that the US actually withdrew from the Iranian agreement in 2018. So the US is no longer a party to this agreement, but the problem is that the other countries who were signatories to the agreement did not withdraw. They effectively continued to support the agreement, maintaining it in place. And that means that in October, this arms embargo is due to expire. And at that moment, Iran effectively will have the right to purchase fighter jets, helicopters, warships, submarines, artillery systems, missiles, whatever you want, will have the right to purchase them legitimately on the world stage. And of course, the concern is that those arms and heavy equipment will potentially be used not only by Iran itself, but potentially by Hezbollah, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas, and other militia groups that are associated with Iran operating in the Middle East, in Syria in particular, and other parts of the Middle East. And so the U.S. Special Representative has become very active in moving around to try somehow to create a new after October to try to encourage the United Nations effectively to extend the arms embargo on Iran for a further period of time, whatever that's going to be. Apparently, Brian Hook has also made stops in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and other countries before coming to Israel in order to talk to them as well. And in parallel, it was noticeable that there was work going on at the UN Security Council itself, where the US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo gave an address to try to urge the UN Security Council to extend the sanctions. That was also yesterday. So, the irony is that we've got the two countries that are not party to the agreement really now actively pursuing some sort of a different solution for when the October date comes up and the arms embargo effectively expires.
Yeah, that is it's amazing that this is taking place with everything else that is going on. Can you just give us the corona update?
A few things on the corona side. It's been noticeable that the European Union advertised a list of countries with whom they will effectively enter into an arrangement to allow visitors to travel backwards and forwards between the European Union countries and those countries. I think it was a list of about 14 or 15 countries. Israel is not one of those countries on the list, and one could argue justifiably so, with the fact that yesterday we had more than 700 new coronavirus patients diagnosed. That is the second highest number in one day throughout this whole period, including the so-called first wave of the virus. So things are certainly ramping up. And as I've said before, what we're finding on this occasion, even though the numbers of people diagnosed is increasing significantly, we're not seeing such a large increase in the number of people who are seriously ill or requiring intubation. And again, I don't want to tempt fate, open my mouth to the devil, but I hope that that's something that we will certainly continue to see going forward. Having said that, certain places, certain hotspots have been identified, Ashdod being one of them, Kiryat Gat being another, a few places where the virus is really being diagnosed in much larger numbers than the rest of Israel. And the one thing that, even though they've been identified as hotspots and they've effectively been put into a certain lockdown, it's not clear what that lockdown really means. And I think that we're supposed to get some clearer information today about what these lockdown places, what it means for them when they're identified as a hotspot and they're actually put into lockdown. So unfortunately, the coronavirus is certainly here to stay with us, at least for the foreseeable future. And the way that it's being dealt with at the moment, and I think that we've seen this in other places around the world as well, is that we are identifying hotspots and trying to put more extreme measures in place in those particular local communities, lockdown in those communities, in order to prevent the spread. Dimona is another one of those areas where this has been very, very widespread. Some really crazy stories about how people are being infected, but that's just the nature of the virus at the moment. So this is certainly here for us, and we'll have to keep a careful eye on that one.
Yeah, indeed. Just a comment on the conversation we had earlier. Jenny says, there's a difference between censorship and giving Joe Soap freedom of speech. Facebook censors average people, but they will leave a post by a Holocaust denier and people inciting violence and terrorism. Great power comes with great responsibility. Facebook have been irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, as I said before, I'm not familiar with exactly how the whole thing works. I have heard of people being put so-called into Facebook jail for making comments or sharing things that they're apparently not supposed to be sharing. I have heard about this, but I'm certainly no expert as to how their censorship works. And so, you know, Jenny's comment may well be a very valid one. Who are they trying to silence and who are they allowing to make free statements?
Yeah, and then Benjamin says, hey there, Howard, regarding this hate speech, just imagine if you were sensitive. Exactly. Luckily, you're still our hero. That is from Benjamin. Can you imagine, Benjamin, if I were sensitive?
Well, I mean, the other thing that I'd just like to add to that conversation, I know we're sort of flipping backwards and forwards a little bit, but, you know, there is this notion that there is a growing anti-Semitism around the world linked to Corona, and that a lot of this is being fueled by social media. And I guess Facebook is certainly a factor in that. And so the question is, you know, are we sensitive to the fact that this anti-Semitism is growing unjustifiably through social media, through Facebook, when censorship may have helped to somehow stem this tide? That's just a question that I'm putting out there. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, and we'd love your thoughts on that as well. Anton, it's the 1st of July. What's happened with the annexation?
Well, the 1st of July, no annexation apparently today, but a lot of stories around the whole annexation. First of all, the fact that the Palestinian street is apparently not going to be reacting to annexation or to the what was supposed to be annexation in the way that we thought they might. However, a day of rage has been declared in Gaza, and there are expectations that there may be some rocket fire, there may be some statements being made against the idea of the annexation. We do also know that quite significant discussions have been continuing between US government officials and Israeli government officials about the annexation. It seems that nothing dramatic is going to happen today, but we do understand that the US government is now reported to be pushing Israel to make a so-called gesture to the Palestinian Authority, in return for which the US may then say, we recognize sovereignty over whichever the annexation lands are. Effectively, what we're seeing is a land swap arrangement being put in place already now, before we get to the end of the process of agreeing the possible declaration of a Palestinian state. So this is my impression, that the US government is saying, let's do the land swaps now. If the Israeli government makes a gesture and agrees to give up certain lands to the Palestinian Authority to allow them to build there freely and to do whatever they wish to do there, if they do that now, then we will effectively recognize Israeli sovereignty over whatever Israel chooses to annex, which will obviously be done in conjunction with the Israeli government, so with the US government. So that seems to be the way that things are moving ahead at the moment. Interestingly enough, Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, came out very, very clearly saying, we will not recognize annexation, full stop. Don't do it. Don't try it. We will not recognize it. Many other governments around the world have taken a very, very similar view. But I suspect that if the US government gives the nod, that the Israeli government may well be inclined to go ahead with it. But it seems to me right now that it will come only with a land swap type of arrangement. So I think that's going to be very interesting. And that may well be a very significant move forward to get this land swap arrangement in place.
Yeah, it's and of course this is something that is developing, and we're going to keep a close eye on that. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always.